Hey there, welcome to Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
On this show, we do a thing where, man, I'm going to do it again.
Let me try and help for those of us who may be new to this.
Me.
We read tarot here, right? And we're really good at it.
Yeah, we're really good at reading tarot, not so great at podcasting. On this show, we read tarot. We answer someone's question. We solve someone's big life problems. And we do it in a very specific way. Now I'm rolling. Some of those ways that people solve people's problems are very hard. Like having experience in a field and then giving advice from like 20 years of past trial and error.
Or going to school and learning how human psychology works.
Yes.
And like learning to be a true therapist or counselor.
Or like somebody who quits their job and becomes some sort of entrepreneur and then has a big success and then gets rich and famous and then people listen to them.
Somebody that's truly empathic and really understands how people feel and how to solve their problems in a way that they don't even understand how that works.
Not us.
No, we don't do any of that.
We don't do any of that. What we do is that Brian bought a deck of cards from the internet and we shuffle those cards up and then we draw three of them. And in the order that we draw them, they represent the recent past, the current action, and the future 100% money-back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do that.
Okay, well.
And then after that, let's give them a card of the week.
Okay. That'll just be one card for everyone that will also solve all of your problems.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, like, if one card can solve all your problems, what are we wasting time with the three cards for?
I don't know. If it would be nice to have $20... Wouldn't it still be nice to have $100?
I feel like the other way makes more sense.
You think that the three-card reading is the $100 one?
Well, no, that's what you're saying, right?
I'm saying we're giving one person a shiny $20 bill.
Okay.
And we're giving everyone in the world $100 each.
Okay, I agree with that.
Okay.
I'm on board with that now.
And I just want to go back at this point where I've been talking about specific amounts of money to specific people and say this is for entertainment purposes only, and all money is in spiritual gold.
Wait, I'm not getting paid for this?
You are still getting paid on the same schedule you've been getting paid.
Okay, good. Yeah, because you keep saying soon.
Yeah, HR is working on it. It's just a straight up paperwork issue.
Okay, yeah. That's what you've said for like 2.5 years now. So, I mean, it's fine. You know, I'm not mad about it, but...
Yeah, I can't do anything about it. The HR person is family, and so I can't, like, stomp on them or fire them or anything like that, which I guess is what I would do if it was a stranger.
Okay.
Just stomp on them. That's how I solve business problems.
I'm glad that I'm not a stranger. But I will continue to work very hard and hold out for that.
Yeah, just keep showing up and... not to make light of the issue of people who are working and not getting paid, which I realize we are definitely doing. We're not making fun of that issue.
No.
Specifically. Just making fun of Ben, specifically.
For entertainment purposes only.
For entertainment purposes only. This is not a bullying situation either. I'm very much the lower status host.
Hashtag be best.
All right. Now that we've potentially shut out a lot of considerate, thoughtful, empathetic people from our show.
Have we shut them down?
Well, we've, like, turned them off.
Okay.
Like, they're like, oh, we thought these were two kind people, but it turns out that these are just monsters with microphones.
Monsters with microphones. A podcast from Ben and Brian.
That's our other podcast where we just say horribly tone-deaf things.
That's all the stuff you cut out of the show. It's this whole other podcast.
So then we do the card of the week, then we do the outro, then you go home, and I sit here and I wait for next week, right?
Yes.
All right, well, should we go ahead and do...
the advice part of the show, the $20 part of the show?
Yeah, should we go ahead and give this person $20?
Yes.
All right, let's head into Queerin's Corner. Oh, you know why I'm so sassy today?
Why are you so sassy?
Because my birthday is this week.
Happy birthday this week.
Thanks. I'm not really looking forward to it. It's one of those milestone birthdays that nobody looks forward to unless they're already successful. People look forward to 80 because once 80 is in sight, then you're like, well, now I don't want to die.
That becomes your overriding goal.
Yeah. As opposed to like 40, where when 40 is in sight, you're like, I'm going to die soon. Like, this is for sure going to happen. And that is the milestone that I'm reaching. I'm going to be 40 whole years old.
Well, everyone out there that's listening is really hoping that you don't die, because then they know the podcast will immediately end.
Oh, that is yet another reference to my mortality in this very episode.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for me.
Well, whose existential problems can we solve today? Because we're not solving yours.
No, we're definitely not going to solve mine, because then essentially my role in the show would be over. Just the confused guy walking around wondering what we're doing.
I also feel like it would require a lot more than 3 cards.
Nice. I appreciate that. I appreciate you noticing that I can't be helped in the way we've helped hundreds of people.
You're a special case. That's why you're the host.
Wonderful. I'm immune to advice.
This goes back to our conversation about, like, you know, people who build up a lot of, like, wisdom and experience in an area. Like, you know, the yoga teacher is the person who's had the most experience, like, learning about yoga and what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're the host of this podcast, is because you have just so many life problems that you've been storing up.
I have absorbed and shed so many layers of advice over the years.
Yeah, that now you're the one who can give it.
Wonderful. Well, maybe today I'll layer some of my advice on with the cards.
Okay.
And you know then that you have the wisdom of ages coming with it.
All right. Well, who is today's queerant?
This week we are talking to Ashley from St. Louis.
Hello, Ashley.
And Ashley asks, existentially, am I missing the bigger picture out of life? Is there one at all? Or is everyday little things the big picture? Kind of on the nose for my 40th birthday, but this is Ashley's question. It's certainly not. I didn't write in.
And call yourself Ashley?
And put the name Ashley on there. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't compromise the integrity of the show. But we are going to ask a question that does seem like it's something that I would be asking.
Based on the sometimes Herculean struggles we have getting the number of questions we need to record the show, I know for a fact that you don't violate the integrity of the show by making up questions.
Only 103 of the 106 times have I compromised our integrity.
All right. This is a good question. I like how it's phrased.
Yeah, it's huge. I guess we've said the question, now we do the deck introduction, right?
Yes, but I have a question first.
Yes.
They say a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
But then people also talk about the big picture, which would imply that there are also small pictures. So which picture is worth 1,000 words?
They're just worth better words.
Oh, okay. They're all worth 1,000 words. Just the quality of the words is what differs.
Yes. And you see that in books also. Like, you take a random sampling of 1,000 words out of any book, and some books are just going to be better.
That's true. Okay, I'm glad we solved that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Now we can move on to the deck.
This week we're using a new-to-me deck called the Mibraming Magical Tarot.
Okay. That word is new to me.
It's the artist's name.
That makes sense.
I had to look it up.
Thought maybe Mibraming was some school of magic.
It is now.
Okay.
Oh, before you get into... Well, let's... Yeah. So I've been thinking about getting into witchcraft. I've been thinking about, maybe starting to believe in some mystical stuff and doing, like, spells and stuff.
I don't understand if this is, like, some sort of joke that I'm not getting.
It's half a bit, but also, like, I've had a lot of time just home alone recently. Okay. And I've been thinking, like, what would it hurt if I just tried to do magic spells sometimes?
And have you tried?
No, not yet. I'm not there yet. But I think that I'm maybe just a couple days away from it. Like,
I feel like we need to. I don't.
Maybe by, like, my 40th birthday proper, I will be a fully fledged witch or warlock. I don't know the difference yet. And I don't think that it's
gender.
I don't think it's gender based.
Okay. Well, then I would like to know. I'd like you to report back the difference.
Oh, I'll report back through, like, writing with lightning in the sky.
I'll look out for that. This could be a whole episode of its own that's just buried here in Queerin's Corner.
Oh, if I find out that, spoiler alert, magic is actually real, I think that we will definitely have a special episode based on that.
Okay. I don't remember what I was doing last night. It was yesterday. Something happened. Oh, our power went out.
That was probably me. That was probably when I was thinking about it.
Oh, okay. Because our power went out. And then I went, 1, 2, 3. Power comes back on. It didn't. And then I said, well, magic isn't real. A reference to the show.
But then the power did ultimately come back on.
Yes. It was hours later.
Yeah. It was someone was doing a spell. You can't just count to 3 and think that the power is going to go off. Do you know how long it took me to get the power to your house to go off all the way in your neighborhood?
Ages?
Yeah, it took me, I mean, I'm almost 40 now. I've been working on that my whole life.
You've only known me for like 5 years.
Just learning the skills and then figuring out what your address is from context clues. I think I put your neighbor's power out a couple times.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Well, the Mibraming Magical Tarot is crazy. It's animals.
What's on the back of the deck?
A weird cat with boobs.
I'd say that's accurate. It looks like if Orson Welles was a cat with boobs.
Yes. So these are all animals with giant heads and big mouths. The Lover's card is two animals with like human bodies and human genitalia.
Fantastical dwarf bodies and they're very stout and low to the ground.
Yeah, this is just a crazy deck. It's animals with huge faces and human bodies, but mostly doing the same things that you would see on your normal deck.
Yeah.
Three stars.
Three stars. You heard it here first. When I was shown this deck, I hadn't even ever heard of this artist or this deck before, which is weird because usually I know a deck before I see it. I at least know who the artist is or I have heard about the deck. But this came out of nowhere.
It shuffles great.
That's good.
Where did it come from? Did it come from a swap or something?
It was a gift.
Well, three stars. It's a bizarre, wild deck. You should go to our website and look at the pictures of it.
All right. Ben's all shuffled up here. Just to review the question, Ashley, not Brian, says, am I missing the bigger picture out of life? Is there one at all? Or is everyday little things the big picture?
All right. Flip.
The Magician.
And the Magician is an elephant. And he's doing the magician-y hustle with all the elements of the tarot. He's just an elephant. It kind of seems like it would be in The Lion King, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's in the background is red and there's rocks cropping out everywhere. It's like when the Pride Lands were bad.
Yeah.
The elephant looks fairly serious.
Yep.
Very surly.
All right. Well, the Magician, one of my favorite cards, if we're allowed to have favorite cards.
I think we are. Most of the cards are my favorite card.
Okay. Most of them are not my favorite cards.
Yeah.
But the Magician is one of my favorite cards. And the Magician is all about making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I like it. The Magician, he has all the tools in front of him that he needs to accomplish his goals. He's doing the disco move of pointing at the sky and channeling that energy to the earth. Witchcraft? Warlockcraft?
Ooh, yeah. I wonder, does it mean anything that he's doing the hustle the opposite of the way he normally does it? Like he has the wand in his left hand instead of his right hand, and he's pointing to the ground with his right hand instead of his left hand.
I don't know if that means anything.
I bet it means a lot of stuff. I'll get back to you once I'm a witch.
All right. Yeah, you'll check back in with us. Splice that in here about the witchcraft. In terms of this question, though,
I think that up to this point, you have been pretty clear on the bigger picture of life. You have been equipped to handle the things life has thrown at you. And possibly you're to a point where you're finishing up a plateau and you're getting ready to grow a lot more. So your point of view is going to, well, we don't know because we haven't gotten to the present or the future. But I think right now it's saying that you have been equipped to handle the big picture as you know it.
Okay, let's jump to the present.
All right.
Flip. This is the King of Swords, a baboon. Rafiki.
Okay. Good, keeping with that Lion King
theme. Yeah, I feel like we really did. We found out what the Mibraming Magical Tarot was. It's the Lion King. Yeah, it's just a baboon sitting on a throne with a sword.
All right.
And the King of Swords is somebody who is a deep thinker, somebody who is the master of the swords suit, which is all about logic and intellect, and somebody who is like a long-term thinker and planner, a leader, someone with vision, but also somebody who is maybe like very focused on that pursuit.
And I think that if the King of Swords here represents Ashley or Quarant, then it's saying that you in the past have been on top of the situation and aware of the world around you, but now things are happening in your head, things are happening intellectually, and you're realizing that there's much more world to be on top of. And so you've been killing it so far, but you just realize there's so much more you can be doing.
Yeah, and another layer potentially is I always see the Magician as like a very creative card, and it embodies a lot of creative energy and literally creation of making something, whereas the sword suit and especially the sword court cards are less focused on creation and more focused on just ideas or a strategy. And I think when you get narrowly focused on tactics or, you know, following a plan, there's less room for creativity and inspiration. And so some of that that's giving, you know, the magician energy that was giving richness before has turned into this like narrow-minded focus on executing the plan to the best of your ability, which makes it feel like all of these little things rather than some sort of big picture.
I love it. Should we move on to the future?
Yes.
All right.
Flip. Another king, this time, of wands.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep. And so this is a ram. Not very Lion King looking.
Now, kind of, oh, sheepish. Look at his look at his face, though.
Yeah.
Like, I was saying that, but it truly was for the first time in my life, no pun intended.
Okay, well, you did it then. So that's what we have here.
And what's the King of Wands represent?
Well, Brian, you asked me that because you don't know anything about court cards.
It's true. It's been a while since we brought that up.
So I will help. The King of Wands, unlike the King of Swords, is really fueled by passion and is pursuing the goals that really inspire and fire him up, and is somebody who is able to lead people rather than the King of Swords, who's leading people by well laid out plans. The King of Wands is leading people just by influencing them through how excited and passionate he is about an idea that it just wraps people up and gets them to go along.
I think that that is a great evolution from being not stuck in your thoughts, but kind of living in your thoughts right now, living in this headspace. And then once you're past all of the mechanical issues of your current situation, then you are able to move into a place where you're more free and you're executing these ideas with passion. You're excited about the things that you discovered.
Yeah. And I wonder, is this advice or is it just what's going to happen? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that we're more divining now than we are
okay
prescribing what you need to do.
So then the answer to like missing the big picture is no. Right now you're in a period where you're just very focused on the mechanics of how to get from A to B and accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish. And going back to my creative energy comment, that like the King of Wands has that energy again. And so it's coming back. And I think you're going to feel more fulfilled and more as though you're on the right, you know, big picture track. Whereas right now you're very much in the weeds and the details of how to get from A to B. And you just have to get through that period so that the more free energy can come back and you can feel more like there's a purpose to what you're doing rather than just executing plans.
Definitely. I think that it's interesting that all three of these cards are kind of masters.
They
are in charge of their situation, of their particular situation. And the magician is more holistic. The magician can look at the big picture, as it were. And then the baboon, the swords are in the mind. And then the ram with the wand is more
in the gut.
In the gut. It's more how you're going to live your life.
So part of the question that Ashley asked is, you know, are the everyday little things actually the big picture? And I think that that is the case. That's what the King of Swords is getting at.
The King of Wands? Or the King of Swords?
Well, both. The struggle right now is that it feels like there's just, or at least what I'm intuiting from the question is that some of the struggle is that it just feels like you're going through the motions and there's just these things you have to do and you're missing the big picture. But really that's getting you to the King of Wands where you can see more of the big picture.
Okay. Love it.
Well,
hope that helped. Yeah. Good job, Ashley. You're on the right path. You are
a master.
Already mastering many avenues of this. And I think that you're asking this question at like the particularly right time for you, according to the cards.
Well, too bad we couldn't help you, Brian.
Yeah, well, maybe next decade. All right, well, that was Queerant's Corner. And now here we are back in the liminal space. Should we go ahead and jump into Card of the Week?
I think so.
Okay. This week, we're using the Anna K Tarot. And which, it's Anna.K. So it's not
the Anna Karenina Tarot.
Yes. Except the artist's name, I just want to get it right, is Anna.K.
Oh, okay.
With no space. So, like, there's a space after the K and no dot.
Well, I understand that. Like, sometimes when you're programming, like, if you put a space in, it messes the whole thing up. So you have to separate it with, like, a dot or an underscore.
So we can guess right now that the Anna K Tarot is going to be very logical and programming based, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The Anna K Tarot also comes in its own giant, like, Happy Meal box.
Yeah, it's like flimsy cardboard.
And the book is large.
It is a big book. It's a Llewellyn deck, so...
The cards are also quite large. Everything's big about the Anna K deck.
We know how I feel about non-traditional size cards.
Yes, we do.
It's poorly, while Ben is looking through the deck.
So, for our Anna K Tarot, we have the expected imagery for the for the most part. No, it's not that expected. It seems like it's a little more literal about the interpretations.
For example,
like the Nine of Cups, which is normally a card that you love.
Yeah.
The guy smiling in front of his cups. Like here, the Nine of Cups is like a happy celebration and people dancing and people seeming like very fulfilled, which I feel like is a more, like, you just look at the card and you're like, I get it. And
so that's, in some ways, that could be considered superior to the traditional imagery because you don't have to make some sort of leap. You can just say, oh, this is about partying.
Yeah. And then, like, the Five of Wands, which is those five people hitting each other with sticks. Here it's two men arm wrestling.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I thought I wasn't going to like this deck.
No, I know. And I didn't think I was going to like it either. And then the Ace of Rods is, like, a girl walking across a plank across, like, two cliffs, which is, again, a more straightforward idea of, like, setting out on this journey, taking a risk.
Yeah, and the young woman seems very excited, and the wind's blowing her hair.
I was ready to not like this deck.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm giving this deck 4 stars.
All right.
Against the odds. I'm giving this deck... The King of Swords, he's playing chess. That makes a lot of sense. 4 stars for the Anna.K Tarot.
You're really doing it, Anna.K. Good job.
You know, sometimes you don't want to judge a book by its cover.
No, definitely not on this one. The back of this book says, in times of confusion, it will help you see. In times of conflict, it will help you get past your fear. If you are struggling with indecision, it will help you decide.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's make this happen.
Flip.
The Eight of Cups.
And on the Eight of Cups... I'm curious about what's happening in the background. So the Eight of Cups here is sort of from the inverse perspective. Normally the traveler is walking away from the cups into the background, but here the traveler is walking towards us and there's cups in the background that are leading up to a house. And there's two people in the, like, silhouetted in the doorway of the house. But I don't know if they're, like, hugging or making out or what's happening.
I think that those two people are watching this adventurer go on their way. Because look at the adventurer's face.
Yeah.
They are already weary, and they've made it maybe 15 feet out the door.
They have not gone far. That's like when I'm on my way here, and I'm like, ugh. I, like, pull out of my driveway, and then...
Your wife is standing in the doorway, just watching you go. You have cups scattered out behind you.
Like, do I have to?
Well, in the Little White Book, or giant novel, that comes with this one, the Eight of Cups represents a departure full of wistfulness that nevertheless happens of our own free will. Mostly we depart because we have realized it's high time to walk a different path, our own path. It's time for us to be independent, to let go of old securities and convictions. So while this departure is connected with wistfulness and a heavy heart, staying would just confine us and make true advancements impossible. To avoid confusion, analyze the differences between this card and the Six of Swords, the Four of Rods, and Seven.
That sounds like a lot of work.
All three of them also stand for departures, but the departure described by the Six of Swords is an anxious departure into the unknown. It didn't happen voluntarily, but was caused and is accompanied by some kind of sorrow. The Four of Rods depicts a joyful departure, but is not so much an adventure as a departure full of trust. There isn't much at stake. The Chariot shows the archetype of the hero's departure. This departure is made for its own sake. That just made a lot of questions for me.
How so?
Well, I don't see the Eight of Cups as a sad departure.
Okay.
I don't see the Four of Wands as a departure at all.
No, I don't either.
The Chariot, I'll take that.
And the Six of Swords.
And the Six of Swords. The way they were describing the Eight of Cups in the second part of this was more like the Six of Swords to me.
Okay.
Like a hard journey that you don't necessarily want to take.
What do you think of it as?
I think of the Eight of Cups as a difficult journey, but one that you're excited about. Even though you're scared, because you're leaving behind everything that you know. You're leaving behind what's safe and what is known to you, and you're moving into a new adventure.
Okay.
But that's not what the book said to us.
I'm in line with the book.
Okay.
I mean, the person on the Eight of Cups is normally, like, they look weary from behind.
Yeah, because it's tough.
Yeah. So it's not like a happy, exciting journey.
So what's the difference between the Eight of Cups and the Six of Swords?
I think the difference, I think Anna.K got to it, which was the Eight of Cups is a journey that you're taking by choice, even though you're sort of unhappy about it, like coming here, versus the Six of Swords, where, like, circumstances have been thrust upon you that are requiring some sort of change.
All right, I'll buy that. That's still not my personal interpretation of these cards, but I see it.
Okay.
And I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. So, for this week...
Oh, what does what it that mean for this week?
Yeah, you have to help. You have to give out our $100 tip right now.
Great.
So for this week, it means that you need to make some sort of change, even though it might be a difficult change to make. But make that change because staying isn't the answer.
All right. Nailed it.
Do you think the people in the background are that traveler's parents and she's like leaving home?
Or maybe they were part of a triad.
Okay.
They're leaving two of the people to... Maybe they just have to go to work. Maybe this is just somebody that has to get up early and go to work. And their family got up and made breakfast and ate with them. And now they're like, ugh, I gotta go to work. And so this Eight of Cups, the eight is how many hours they're going to be gone.
Oh, that makes so much sense now. I get
But every day they do this. Every day this scene gets played out where they're like, goodbye, family. I shall see you after this long journey is over.
That's how I feel sometimes when I go to work.
Or when you come here.
Exactly. Thankfully, it's not 8 hours.
All right. Well, do you think we did it?
I think we did it.
All right.
I think we did a great job. I think we deserve $100.
Yeah.
You can send that too.
Well, should we go ahead and get out of Card of the Week territory?
Yes.
All right. Here we are, back in the liminal space.
It's
time for your favorite part of the show, Ben.
The outro.
The outro.
Well, thank you very much to Ashley for this week's question. A good one.
A good one. Thanks to the Lols for listening. For
listening to this episode. A good one.
Tuning in with us for the last, we'll call it 25, 30 minutes.
All right. And now a moment of silence for Lost Lols.
Okay, Ben, where can they find us?
They can find us on the internet, the World Wide Web, amateurtarot.com. That is, again, where you can look at pictures of these cards. So you can play along at home and give the decks your own rating.
Yeah, and but then, Ben's is the only one that counts.
Sure, and you can also submit your questions there.
And you can also submit questions at our phone number, 314-325-6047. You can text us or you can leave a message.
You can find us on Twitter at Tarot Amateur and on Instagram at Amateur Tarot.
You can find us on Facebook/Amateur Tarot, and you can find us at Facebook Group/Amateur Tarot.
You can find Brian online at Zen Iron Man. That's his Twitter handle.
You can find Ben online at I'mMakingAllThisUp.com. That's not his Twitter handle because he's not on Twitter, because he's spending too much time taking lumps of clay and forming them into professional creatives.
Brian, you do the next point.
Okay, we have a Patreon. We've had it for a little bit now, and we're still learning how to do it, but we've had it. This will be the second month of it coming up.
Unlike Tarot, we're still learning how to do the Patreon.
Yeah, and it's something that I've decided I'm going to learn more about, as opposed to Tarot, which I refuse to learn more about.
And if you want to support us without money, you can go to iTunes. Nope. Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, the place where you get your podcasts.
Wherever you go.
The Steve Jobs Apple place owns. Of podcasts. And you can go there and you can write us a review, a short one. You can give us 5 stars. If you want to give us less than 5 stars, then don't post there. But that would really help us.
If you do give us a review, you could get mentioned on the podcast, like Hare31773, Hare like a rabbit, H-A-R-E, 31773, who says... first review for any podcast anywhere.
A hero.
5 stars. Last year, I took a tarot class, never having seen a tarot card before. Growing up Baptist, we were told tarot was divination and therefore wrong. But I'm so much past that. So much so now I'm a lol tarot enthusiast. I appreciate the wacky way of our hosts, and I think you will too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Hare31773. Do you know the difference between a rabbit and a hare?
Is there one?
I don't know. I imagine that a hare is like a jackrabbit. Like okay. It's something that's larger and more feral.
I think it has something to do with the ears, too.
Hmm. Well, another mystery that will never be solved.
All right. Now we have arrived at item number 9. Thank you to Stamps. Now, I know that's a weird one.
I'm with you. Go ahead.
But I think they just raised the postage rates.
I just heard the same thing. I've not mailed anything in such an incredible amount of time that it was a big deal when stamps went to 32 cents, I think.
I was like, when was that?
I don't know, 20 years ago?
Yeah, I was going to say it's been a while.
Do people still use physical mail for things?
I do. I pay all my bills, almost all my bills physically, because I wouldn't remember if the envelope didn't show up at my house.
But the internet does it for you automatically.
Yeah, but I don't like having the internet do things for me automatically and me not knowing how much money I'm spending or where it's going.
So you can't see my face right now, but when Ben said that he does all of his bills by mail, my jaw, I'm going to have rug burn on my chin. That's how fast and hard my jaw dropped to the ground. And all of these words that he's saying about not trusting the internet are blowing my mind. I have no idea what that type of life looks like. Apparently successful and happy.
The people who are like skipping the outro because they think it's all the same, they're missing out on really premium content.
Really good life tips.
Yeah. So anyway, back to thank you to Stamps. The postage rate went up, but my mother-in-law was telling us this before they went up. So we bought some stamps
online. Some Forever stamps
online. And they had these cool dragon designs that are like foily and like shiny. And I'm like, where did these come from? You know, it's not just
the Again, you the can't hear it, but my eyebrows this time.
So thank you to Stamps, because these dragon stamps, I feel like a badass when I mail my bills.
That's cool. I may have to start paying some bills.
There you go.
All right. That's it. So, spoiler alert, magic is real. Hey there. Welcome to Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
Ooh, that robot host might be Ben. I'm not sure. Robot, are you Ben?
Affirmative.
Yeah, that robot host is Ben.
And that's Brian.
And this is me.
And we're here together again for another fantastic episode.
What do we do in our fantastic episodes, Ben?
Well, on our fantastic episodes, I'm going to start that. Am I like too much?
You're pretty hot.
Am I too hot? A little recording stuff there. All right. What did you ask me? Something about what do we do on this show?
What do we do here?
I thought I was just going to be able to like roll right back into it.
Here we go.
Okay.